Okay, good evening. This is the August 18th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Program Committee. I'm Michael Novick, the Chair Pro Tem, and as Nancy Sarbanar told me, the Secretary President can call the roll.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't have the list up. Could I ask
Teresa Allen, KPFT.
Allen is present.
Christian Beck, KPFK. Don't hear you. Wesley Bethune, KPFT. Wesley? No, don't hear you. Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA.
I'm here. But
this is Michael Novick, KPFK. FEN Wangaza, WMP, MXP. Don't hear you. Venetia Patel Adams, KPFT. I heard it before. Venetia, are you there? Don't hear you. Ron Pinchback, WPFW.
Here.
Eric Ramey, WPFW.
Present.
John Riley, WBAI. No, was that John? Don't hear you. Serene Roberts, WBAI. Mansour Sabah, KPFK. No, don't hear you. Nancy Sabayanaritomi, KPFT.
Present.
Louis Wolf, WPFW.
John Riley here.
Okay, John is here. Louis Wolf, WPFW. Going back, Venetia Patel Adams, KPFT. Venetia was on the call a couple of minutes ago.
Hi, Venetia. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. So I have the quorum achieved yet?
Hey, sorry, my call dropped.
Is that Venetia?
Yes.
Okay, so we have a quorum of eight. There was an agenda posted on KPFDX, which I can read. It was call to order and roll call, agenda approval, minutes approval, election of permanent officers, a report from the working group that met earlier this month about coordinating national programming in the period leading up to the election in November, and any discussion of that and possible motions, set the next meeting and a regular meeting schedule. Are there any objections to that agenda?
I have no objection. Just wondering, are we streaming yet?
Yes, we are on the stream.
Great, thank you.
Sure, thank you.
So did we request for information? Did we quorum?
Yes, but you have a quorum.
Okay.
You have eight. That's a quorum. Whether I believe Jonathan Alexander resigned, but either way, eight is a quorum. With him, there are 15. Without him, there are 14. Still need eight. All right, so hearing no objections, I will say the agenda is approved. Nancy, were there any minutes?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I haven't checked. No, I'm sorry. Next time.
I'm sorry. I think we put their phone on mute if you're not speaking. All right, so there are no minutes to approve at the moment. If you're not speaking, please put your phone on mute. The next item on the agenda was election of permanent officers of the committee. Any nominations?
Didn't we do this already? This Nancy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Nancy.
I think we only did the. I don't have the minutes. So I'm not sure, but I think we've only had.
Oh, really? Oh, but I don't. When we nominated, I think Serene nominated you for chair, and no one else volunteered or nominated anybody else.
All right. My bad then. So, were you elected secretary permanently?
I don't remember. That I don't remember. I'm sorry. I just remember you were elected.
All right. So, I'm nominating you for secretary. Any other nominations for secretary? Hearing none, we'll assume that Nancy is permanent secretary. So the next question was the working group report, which I did send to people. I'm trying to look through my sent email to see if I can find it again. See if we can review. There it is. It was August 10th, I think, my original one out. Let me see. Let's go ahead. No, it's a. Actually, it's not that August 5th. Gives it to Green, Ron, Nancy, Sabrina, Mansour, Afia, John Alexander, John Riley, Wesley, Venetia, Eric. I think it says Nancy Serpent too for some reason. Bruce Allen, Christian Beck, Lewis Wolf, T.J. Scruggs, who also left the committee. I sent a copy to Ursula. I never heard back from her. So I'll recapitulate it briefly for the stream, but if you look through your email, you should find that several people did respond to my second request.
My understanding that Ursula's been sick, just to let you know. Yeah, I think she had surgery, so she's
okay.
Recovering. Thank yeah. you.
So five of us met, Ron Tinsbeck, Nancy, Sabrina Aritomi, Serene Roberts, Sabrina Jacobs, and this is me, Michael Novick. So we were actually one from each of the five stations. We discussed the Pacifica Convention coverage of the RNCD and the Green Party, and saw a couple of lessons of the need for much greater promotion on the air, on the websites, and via social media, and for providing greater coverage of the movement voices on the outside. We talked a little bit about the drafts of the program sharing proposal and felt that the best way to move forward was to concretize a national programming coordination effort that followed up on the convention coverage and on Ron's earlier proposal for marketing a unique Pacifica take on election coverage, both national and state or local, focusing on the issues rather than the horse race, offering Pacifica's unique mission-driven focus and content as a clear alternative to corporate media coverage leading up to the November election. We sketched out a plan for focusing on several pressing issues and realities that are not being dealt with either by the media or deeply enough by any of the candidates. These would be the focus of an effort focusing Pacifica's own programming and for allying with other media partners, say Mother Jones, Brave New Films, other independent journalists and media activists, month by month until November. By picking these themes in advance, it would allow for more intensive promotion and marketing of the programs, as well as soliciting input and involvement by other media sources and activists. The three themes suggested are, one, war and peace. For example, NATO advances into Eastern Europe and threats to Russia. TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as part of the encirclement of China. U.S. military presence throughout Africa. Trump's promotion of nuclear proliferation by Japan and South Korea. Clinton's hawkish approach to U.S. involvement in Europe, Asia, Africa, and Latin America. The absence of an effective peace movement in the U.S., militarization of space, etc. Number two, the environmental crisis, for example, coral reef death, fracking, drought, Zika, indigenous resistance to land and water theft in Canada, the U.S., Palestine, Peru, elsewhere in Meso and South America, etc., to which you can probably add flooding and fires and all the rest of what's going on. And three, social, racial justice and injustice, for example, prisons and police, the September 9th nationwide prisoner strike, Black Lives Matter, the movement for Black Lives, police killings of Mexicanos, Native Americans, and other indigenous people, mass incarceration and its impacts, such as gerrymandering of districts by large-scale movement of black and brown people to rural districts, voter suppression through disenfranchisement of felons, release of political prisoners like Peltier, Oscar Lopez Rivera, Matula Shakur, etc., etc. So those are the three topics, war and peace, environmental crisis, social and racial justice, and injustice. And we would try to focus programming over the course of what was roughly 3 months till the election in November. In these efforts, we would strive to create a kind of ongoing town hall of the air, incorporating more of the many-to-many ethos of social media, both through the use of social media platforms and by allowing listeners to participate via emails, tweets, call-ins, comments on the websites, live streaming shows on Facebook, etc. The idea here is that the greater attention to politics that arises during the election campaign period starting in August and building up post-Labor Day through Election Day will provide a kind of lab for Pacifica to experiment in developing partnerships, incorporating social media, cross-station collaboration on a finite-focused project that would allow us to seize the day and attract new listeners, many of whom are clearly capable of giving, as the flood of electoral donations to Sanders, Stein, and even Trump from small donors attests. We'll be shaping this into a motion for the meeting of the program committee on the 18th, that's tonight, which can perhaps be acted on by the PNB on August 25th, but in the interim, we'll be talking with management of each RFI station to solicit input, getting buy-in, and ideas about how to make this work that can be incorporated into the final proposal and the actual programming product. Michael, that's me, will check with the IED about what the protocols are for getting the promotion and perhaps a current a content location website, I guess, page on the Pacific and other station websites. Maybe something like what's at stake 2016.pacifica.org, where programs could be archived or streamed, for example. So that was sent out on the 5th. I reminded people about it on the 10th. I got a few responses from some members of the committee, Serene, Saad, thanks for your labor. CLSB is a meeting today, New York, Houston, and somebody else. Maybe they talk about Ron Pinchback. Got it. Good job of summing things up. Sabrina Jacobs, I sent a proposal to our PD and had a brief discussion with her. I'll be following up. Many thanks for pulling that together. I did talk to our local interim program director at a program oversight committee meeting, and he expressed interest. He mentioned that the existing coverage plans for the network were focused mostly on the debates, including arranging for at least locally in L.A. a debate among socialist candidates and a possible debate involving the Green and Libertarian presidential and vice presidential candidates. So I forwarded the same email that I sent to the committee to our interim PD, the general manager, and the IED. Didn't get anything further back. I don't know if there was further discussion at KPFA, Sabrina, or if anything happened at KPFA.
No, not yet. Our program director is actually under a little bit more pressure. We just lost our subscriptions director, so she's having to fill in to get ready for our next fund drive, which is in about 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks.
Yeah, we have to start our next fund drive here. KPFK already.
Everything changes when that happens, you know. It really turns into another situation. But, I'll definitely be following up with her. Are you aware of any type of collaboration that is going to be happening with KPFK? Michael?
Nothing more than I just said. I think locally we have aired, the Socialist Party USA candidate, as far as there was a guy from here in L.A., and Peace and Freedom Party, which is on the ballot in California, is running a socialist. So I think that they've done, the person who does the Lawyers Guild show here has previously done it. He's a pretty good host, so they might be doing that either as part of his show or a special, I'm not sure. Go ahead. The other last thing I would say is that a couple of times I know Democracy Now! Has kind of aired parts of the nationally televised debate and then intercut a chance for the Green and Libertarian candidates to also give their responses. And I think they had the Justice Party on Rocky, what's his name, from Colorado once. So I suspect they'll be doing that again, but I don't know for a fact. But Nancy?
Oh, yes, today on KPFT, we have Mitch Jezerek's show, which is edited down to 30 minutes, and from 4:30 in the afternoon Central Time to 5 p.m. And today's show, Mitch was doing some excerpts of Jill Stein's town hall meeting last night, and then he said, now, we're going to go off the air, but we'll be online continuing, and you, the listeners, can call in and we'll give you his number, and I will, he will pick, and he will try to, he might talk back a little bit to, or comment. So we did not get to hear that part. It went off at 5 p.m., and I was driving, so I could not check online, but it seems like Mitch is doing something with the listeners talking about the election. Do you know anything, Sabrina?
No, I do not. They don't. It's, you know, they're pretty insulated the way that they do things. As far as any type of promotion for that, did not know anything about it. So they may have put something up on the website, but that's great. That's great to know. It's great that that can happen technologically speaking, since we're, you know, we kept somewhat of an archaic system. So yeah, I hope that's something that's opened up to the rest of the folks that are on the grid. Thanks for letting me know.
He was giving it open to anybody in the nation could call in. That was
Yeah, that's great, and that option should be open to any other programmer who is, you know, focusing on the elections and whatnot. So that's great. That's really great to hear.
Hey, Nancy, I got a question for you. This is Ron Pinchback. Is Mitch being edited because of the pledge drive, or is this standard procedure for your station?
I did not know that it was edited until somebody on KPFD said it's edited. It's really a one-hour show, but it's edited 30. So I thought his show was 30 minutes, and I thought it's really funny, weird. All of a sudden, he'll say, thank you for coming. And the show ends. You know, it's really abrupt endings a lot. So I would like to hear. And they're saying that they're going to put the whole one-hour unabridged version on the HD channel. I don't know if they've done that yet, but that's what it is. So right now it's still edited down to 30 minutes.
And what's the reason for not carrying the entire show?
Oh, no reason. It's just and we don't get much feedback. I mean, it's like, you know, the LSP, we don't hear anything until the show goes off or goes on. And yeah, we should put some things, some motion, bylaw amendments.
Yeah,
something.
I agree. So I agree. There's not enough communicating going on. Right.
Okay, this is Eric. Okay, something happens at the 30-minute mark. What comes on at the 30-minute mark?
Democracy Now! Repeat at 5 p.m. I'm sorry. Is it okay for me to answer? I didn't get permission from the chair. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't get permission to ask either. I'm sorry.
That divides the show into about 2 half-hour conversations.
So, Alan from Stack.
The secondary. KPFK simulcasts his show, but when we're in Fun Drive, we usually cut away to half hour and run pitching, which he has recorded a set special pitch for KPFK. But his show could be divided up, it's just a half hour. I think what I got from the earlier discussion about this before we got on the stream is that he was talking about having an extra hour for that call, and it wasn't. But maybe I misunderstood.
Yes, you're right. Yes, I understood that.
Okay, Aaron to the stack.
Who's that one to the stack?
Eric from Washington.
Therese and then Eric.
Yeah, I just need some clarification. I think I'm missing something here. So if the show is edited down to 30 minutes, what replaces the final half hour? I mean, what's placed in that final half hour?
I'll answer that. I think that the other half is our local news.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a programming decision at KPFT. It's whatever, you know. Sometimes...
So is there a specific reason? I mean, well, obviously you wanted other programming there. But why would a decision be made? I mean, what was the thinking that...
You might have to talk to Bradley on that one, man.
Ernesto Aguilar was our program director, and he decided that... He would take a half an hour of it. We would take a half an hour rather than an hour. I mean, I personally would like to have counterspin, but you know, I think there's a limit to how much listeners or board members can try to control programming. It was a decision by our program director. I mean, we might go to an hour if we don't have somebody to edit it. It was a decision made by our program director.
Okay.
And obviously, you know, in that instance, when I heard it today, he was saying, you know, we're going to go to call-ins, but you can only call in if you're from California. So obviously, some things need to be edited out anyway for it to be a syndicated program that's playing at places other than where it actually is. Because, I mean, it's somewhat disconcerting to be listening to a program and say, well, we're going to meet at such and such a street in Berkeley on Friday night and we're going to do a protest or something like that. And, you know, that those are kinds of things that should have been edited out, a program that's syndicated.
Not only that, if you're listening online, which I'm somewhat assuming you are, why would that preclude you from calling in? Say if you were in Utah or Barcelona.
Well, because if he tapes it at 10 a.m. on California time on Thursday and we don't air it until 4 o'clock, you can't call in because it's not live when we air it.
Right. For example, we carry Tom Hartman, who's a nationally syndicated radio show that takes call-ins, but we often don't air it when he's doing it. So he's giving out a number that, you know, nobody at KPFK listening to the show when it's on can call and get on the show. That's just how it breaks out. I think if we want to try to promote that, the thing to do is to publicize that he's on a stream at a certain time. You know, obviously then you're competing with your own programming. He's telling people to listen to that stream of KPFA if they want to call in and get a chance. So, you know, I think some stations probably would find that problematic. But at KPFK, for example, we do have shows that are only on the web and not on the station. We have a bike show and, you know, a bunch of music shows and others that we just publicize as being web shows. And, you know, you can listen to them at whenever you want to. A call-in show is different. You got to listen to it when the host is there taking the call-ins. Otherwise, you're just listening to other people, you know, other people's streamed, you know, the archived comments.
Point of information, Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
KPFK has an HD channel. Is that what you're talking about? Web show? No, that's not.
No, KPFK has one broadcast channel only. We don't have HD, but we have some shows that are on the internet. They're just web streamed. You go to the website and you can click on them and listen to the show on your computer. But you can do that anytime you want to. If you're web streaming a show that's a call-in show, people have to know in advance that they need to go on the internet at that time, whatever it is, if they want to be able to call in and be heard by the host and
yeah,
get
that's
on.
That's exactly what I was getting at, yeah.
But I'm saying KPFT does not re-simulcast Mitch's show. So it's conceivable here, when we went to the second half hour of pitching, that somebody would have had the option to go to their computer, go to the kpfa.org website, listen to Mitch, and call Mitch in Northern California. But KPFT airs his show at a different time. So whether he was taking calls or not, and you could, if you had heard the whole show, you still couldn't have called and gotten anybody because it was delayed.
Where are we on the agenda?
The agenda called for us to discuss the national program proposal, which I just read, and try to craft some kind of motion to present to the CMB about it. So I don't know if anybody has any language.
Uh, I'm Pinchback on staff.
Go ahead, Rob.
In regards to our national programming initiative, I know that the stations, you know, coming out of players' drives, things like that. I know W is. I don't know how the other stations are doing. We had to extend our drive for a week, and it's pulling teeth. I'm wondering what kind of impact these financial issues are going to have on, you know, or can have on potential national programming like that. I know for W, it could be a staffing issue in terms of who's available to put some of that together. The program director, the interim program director, and station manager, right now, I got their hands full trying to keep the station afloat, you know, financially. I'm going to be talking with them tomorrow to see, where we are with this. But I'm wondering about the other stations, if finances are speaking into our ability to do programming of this nature.
This is Alan. I'd like to comment.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I know this discussion, in a way, is kind of part programming and part fundraising. I saw something where we were trying to actually raise some money to cover the costs of this kind of coverage, and I'm wondering if we actually did, because we had to pay some people, right, to do this coverage. So who actually paid for it? I'm hoping that since we have absolutely nobody on the national level that is handling fundraising or programming except for times when Otis McClay has coordinated some things and when Ursula Rudenberg has coordinated some things, I'm wondering if people are having any luck at your local stations, like approaching big donors to, like, contribute or cover some sort of something like this, like approaching someone to, you know, come up with $10,000 or $20,000 to do election coverage rather than nickeling and diming it during our pledge drives if we want to do some sort of special. This is something that you could approach a big donor with because it's quantifiable. Hey, we need $20,000 to do this kind of coverage. Is anybody doing that? Or, for example, are they discussing it at the staff meetings?
I know at W, if we had somebody that could give us $20,000 right now, it would go toward bills. So that's the dilemma. That's the dilemma. When you're behind on some of these accounts, if you get a good chunk of money like that, what do you use it for payroll? Do you use it to pay for the electric bill, the rent?
I have another question. Have you ever asked your programmer, each programmer, to make a list of 10 people that they will approach to ask, to see if they would contribute to their show up front?
Oh, absolutely. All of the programs, that's an ongoing thing that programmers do during these players' drives.
And do the ones that are successful at it help those that are not? As an example, as kind of a mentoring thing, or?
Well, it's more than that. You have to have a compelling program. Number one, okay. Two, when your audience is tapped out in terms of contributing, they can't contribute every quarter. They won't contribute every quarter. They contribute once, that year. But we got players in perpetuity now. So, you know, those people, you know, are, you know, dying out. That's one of W's problems, probably the same with the other station. That pool of donors is shrinking. So, you know, they have tried a team approach to, you know, to pitching and things like that. But, you know, if the listeners aren't there, I mean, even if you got a great pitcher, you know, you're pitching to the wind.
So are you having any luck with, like, challenges, like, you know, lining people up to present challenges that might motivate certain programmers to?
They've done that, too. And, like I say, it's just a situation where, like I say, it's an audience issue. You know, it's you know, and Eric, please, you know, I'm sure you got some thoughts on this too.
I do, Mr. Chair, if I might respond to join Ron on his narrative. First, let me just say, if we got the 20,000 and just say theoretically, or not theoretically, but in fact, it goes to the bills we already have, that frees up another 20,000 to directly do what we're trying to accomplish. But I've contacted the IPD about doing matching. They were very resistant to doing it. I mean, I spoke to them.
What's the IPD?
Interim Program Director. We don't have a program director.
Oh,
and at one point, there was even a motion passed for the interim program director to do nothing in terms of the grid. This is probably slightly off point, but mm-hmm. I think it's very relevant because it's the programming or lack thereof that's affecting our ability to raise funds. But
there you go.
The two for one match, I spoke to a programmer independently. We had that going. And there was vicious blowback. It was territorial. Mind your own business. That's not your purview. It's a matter of, I think we had some kind of continuity of train of thought. We could do this. We have certain programs. Our weekend grid is very lucrative.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, these people hit their goals. We raise their goals.
But even that's having its issues because we just lost one of our top programmers, you know,
we did.
And that was a huge, as Bernie would say, huge loss. You know, we're talking about thousands of dollars.
But at the end of the day, this is the bottom line. There's lots of missed opportunities. There's lots of opportunities that should be exploited. I keep saying exploited, excuse that word. There's lots of opportunities that are not taken advantage of. That's probably something that might be best discussed on a different call.
Mm-hmm.
But the opportunities are very much there. I mean, we've had a drop off in listenership, but the other stations in this area also have the top stations. But, you know, until we can do something with the programming, matter of fact, our programming committee was just kind of semi-dissolved, but
some of your programmers are kind of acting like prima donnas. I mean, are they aware of the seriousness of the situation?
No, I wouldn't say that. These programmers, you got to understand, many of them have been with the station for years. They've seen the great times, they've seen the good times, they've seen the bad times. And, programming is an issue. I mean, I'm not saying that, they couldn't do better, but, it's like going to the well too often. You know, that's a real problem for us. And, you know, once again, you know, you also have to look at our changing demographic. Our audience is aging. That's a well-established industry problem right now. the aging demographic for public radio entities. It's just a lot harder. Now, can we develop some compelling programming to pull us out of this? Yes, we can. But how do we do that with limited staffing and things like that? That's one of the challenges we have at W.
Well, one of the things that I have suggested several times is that Washington, D.C. approach Mother Jones and those investigative reporters, for example. I think Mother Jones I saw something on Facebook that Mother Jones just did something on private prisons. You know, if there was a Mother Jones weekly show just interviewing the investigative reporter that covers their major stories. I just think that would be really exciting.
Great idea. We've talked about this before. We're going to have to get, you know, our handle. We're going to have to, you know, get back into this, the possibility of underwriting and things like that. You know, we cannot ignore this, you know, anymore. Now,
I go to the stack. So I'm kind of going back and forth. I would like to try it, see if we can focus on the what's at hand, which is this proposal about some effort to coordinate nationally and with read the language of it. It talks about trying to use social media platforms. It talks about trying to identify, including specifically Mother Jones, independent journalistic allies that we can work with and see this as a laboratory for doing what we need to do over a relatively short span of time, 3 months. So we can spin our wheels forever and go back and forth about the same set of problems we've talked about a thousand times, and we can try to move this one project forward that might give us at least a run at doing it and seeing what we can do. I agree that the financial problems are enormous, and it's true here also that our general manager and our program director are right now engaged with trying to come up with, an effective fundraising drive at the moment, because we have to try to get through the current fiscal year, and we're not going to unless we get some more money. And also draft a budget for next year, the general manager tied up with that. So, and all the other stations are trying to also get those budgets together.
Was that the budget that was due September 1st?
Yes. We have a particular problem here because we have an arbitration from last year that is just in the process of getting to a settlement. Until that's all the I's are dotted and crossed and T's, you know, the figures are very hard to pin down. Nonetheless, nothing was forthcoming from KPFT to the National Finance Committee last night. Nothing is forthcoming from WPFW or BAI. We're trying to get something out of the PRA. All of that is much later than it should be. So that's just a fact. I'm just saying that this is a concrete proposal that might attract some new listeners, might attract some new funding, might give us some practice with using social media to get people to pay for specific shows or podcasts or, you know, activities that they want to follow. And, you know, try to goose people into doing some of this stuff. I don't know what else to tell you about it. So if you give me a minute, I will try to craft a short motion reflecting the content of the report that we could consider and then modify and then vote on and send to the PNB.
Well, I did have one question, though. Wasn't there some sort of call for money to pay for the election coverage that we just did?
Yeah, but
that was only for the convention coverage.
So did anybody come up with any money to for the convention coverage? Or was that just personally paid for by individual stations?
I think the money that came in did not cover all the costs of it. I'm not sure how that was covered. The PNB voted to authorize, I think, $10,000 for the coverage of all three. Some of them are more expensive than others, depending on the travel. Some people paid their own way there. I think the last thing I heard was about $4,000 had been raised, and there were still some figures that had to be calculated. But I haven't heard a final report on the totals that came in. In that coverage, people were all asked to call the KPFK number. We did have people, you know, in the phone room here taking calls for all the stations, but some of the stations might have gotten calls to their own regular number anyway. So I think they're waiting to tally all that up. That was the last report we got at the Finance Committee.
So they made some pitches on air for financial contributions, and we will find out whether any of that was successful.
Yeah, the impression I have is that it was, because I'm not sure if it was called successful if we didn't cover the expenses of doing it, except that we got some, press and some, awareness that Pacifica is a national media player out of it. There was a response at both meetings, and people were pleased to see us. And I think that the last thing I also heard is they were planning to package some of the convention coverage material, not all of which was able to get out on the air because they did extensive interviews that they didn't have time to run. They were planning to put that together as a DVD or something, or as a premium, but I haven't heard what happened with that. I suspect there's no way to work on it at the moment because so many people are putting too many holes in the dikes.
Well, where are we on the agenda?
we're still on making a motion for this continuation of election and law reform coverage with all five stations. Right?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question.
Is it appropriate to make the motion first, or?
Well, we scheduled a discussion. I'm trying to write a motion now. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Who would be the most ideal person to take leadership in this? Would it be the programmers that were doing the election coverage? Let them get together and take turns, or do the five-station hookup? Maybe, I don't know when, what is appropriate.
I think that's going to be up to management to figure out. I don't think that's our job. I think we can craft a motion that the, something like the Pacifica National Board directs the interim executive director to initiate a project with the general managers and group directors, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to say who's participating.
Okay. For once a month, once every 2 weeks, a show where all five stations are connected, right?
I don't think we're going to get that specific. It was the idea of, go back and look at the thing. The idea was to pick out three themes that would be used as a basis for seeking partners and collaboration among the stations and with the affiliates and other independent journalists using social media. It's not specifying one show. The other piece of it was a location on the Pacifica website that could be a central depository of any such programming so that we can publicize, go to, whatever it is. I suggested What's at Stake 2016.pacifica.org and shows that different stations are producing, shows that we produce collaboratively, shows that our affiliates have offered that, we think merit inclusion, whatever it is, could be posted there and people could download them, That's the general idea.
We need something on the air, like programmers telling people about this place, repository, and...
Yes.
Not to the KPFD website, I'm told. Okay, back to you.
Hello.
Pitchback. Let's go ahead and proceed with this motion.
Take something out now.
Yeah, and let's get this passed and definitely get in this process. The election, we got less than 80 days now. And, of course, a lot of this programming can go well past the election because the election is going to impact these very issues, whoever's elected. So, we may be thinking in terms of 3 months. We might be thinking, beyond that, but at least get something going.
Point of information. This is Nancy.
Go ahead.
The shows, I mean, our regular shows are talking about the election. I mean, the public affairs shows. Does anybody want to compliment the shows that are doing a good job?
Could you be more specific?
Well, I mean, like at our place, we had tonight, we had on our Progressive Forum show the commission that takes care of the election, televised presidential debate and the history of it, and how the Women's League of Voters had control first, but they gave up or they decided to quit because they could not, they were having trouble making the two parties behave. And that kind of thing, the history. And then now what it is, it's not really a very legally based commission. It's just taking orders of the what's set out by the two parties, and not even giving the television companies their choice of questions or journalists or et cetera. So, I mean, that kind of thing was on tonight when I was driving home. And we have a show, a 30-minute show on Monday at 4:30 to 5, and we have a local programmer who has another politics show, and he's talking with somebody else, and they're talking about strategies of the Hillary and the Trump, and well, if she's doing this and it will appear like that, and if she does like this, and I'm tired of all this strategy stuff. But anyway, they have their show once a week. They have two other political shows, so four shows are covering these things. At KPFT, I think in our working group, Ron said they have many, many in Washington, many political shows, politics. So, I mean, if we cannot get our thing together and passed and implemented, it's up to those shows to, we need to communicate to them that we'd like them to, maybe they can do it. Maybe they can open up their telephone lines for everybody. I'm finished.
You're breaking up just a bit. Go. Unless you're finished.
Oh, I'm finished. I'm finished.
Okay.
This is Teddy Crack again. I think that there are a lot of, all the stations have individual shows that are looking at, individual programmers that are looking at the elections from a perspective that they're doing for that week or whatever. The problem is that it's all being done in a vacuum. There's not a lot of advanced publicity, for these shows. So people tune into them, hit or miss. I think one of the things that we were trying to do with this effort is to combine resources, combine forces for a national publicity, a national publicity campaign, about this. Pacifica Presents, from all five, stations, this is what's happening, blah 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 blah. So I think that's the impetus here. We could probably fundraise better off of it working collectively than we could hit or miss that we're doing right now at local stations.
Okay, this is Michael. I did just send everybody an email with a proposed motion, and so I'll make that, I'll read that out to people and make it as a motion to this committee. I'm thinking that we actually should also incorporate something about the fundraising aspect, but I didn't put that in the motion, so I'm open to any amendment people want to offer about that. Here it is. It says, move that the PNB Programming Committee recommend that the PNB direct the interim executive director to launch a Pacifica task force to promote collaborative national programming involving the five Pacifica stations, our Pacifica affiliates, and other independent media partners, focusing on three major themes leading up to the November election: war and peace, environmental crisis, and social, racial justice and injustice. The PNB Programming Committee further recommends that the IED, further recommends that the PNB direct the IED to arrange for a well-publicized and promoted web page where such programming and other related programming can be archived, and for the utilization of social media in the development, promotion, and incorporation of listener input in such programming. To correct that, something about fundraising also.
Eric to the stack, if I could.
Go ahead.
You said, I noticed you said, I might have to paraphrase, you said you started to put in something about finance or monies or something like that, and you did not do it. It strikes me that that's almost at the center.
Yeah.
It's watered down, and it's somewhat null and void unless that's there. So I think it's very important that.
Yes, I'll work on it in a second.
This is Nancy.
Go ahead.
PSA might be recommended to tell people that we have this repository and also the times that we're going to have a some snazzy name. Anyway, election, Pacifica, and I'm not sure what the name should be. But anyway, involving five stations and call-ins from all over the country. I mean, we could do just... I mean, the programmers don't have time to say it, or they forget. PSA might be good to do that, to let people know. And, of course, social media. We don't have much social media going on at KPFT that I know of.